Of Christ, who's more beautiful?
Amen.
The voice of many waters, speaking each truth as it runs over the rocks of our understanding. It's beautiful, all of these different precious voices. I like country music, so I compare a lot of things to that. So I'm with Pam Tillis. We're going to shake the sugar tree this morning. Everybody's got one of those inside. Yes. All of my speaking career, such as that's been, I stayed hidden for a long time. Doesn't bother me a bit, but I do love talking to each of you and sharing what I've seen, what I feel. It's all about the love.
Yes, it is.
The scripture says you must send Judah first. So I want to try and present that truth so that you can know how part of it is of you. It's yours. It's your possession, that beautiful love force. And love is not an intellect.
It's not. Hallelujah.
It's absolutely not. And don't you dare call it that.
Amen.
Love is not a determination. It's not that.
Wow.
And love really isn't even a desire. Because you can do things with desire and have no love in it.
Right.
That's true.
So, love is an emotion. To get me ready for this, God gave me a dream. And I've been connected with some of you a lot, so you kind of know my down sittings and uprisings, and I got them all. And if you got a wet noodle you want to use, whack me. It'll be all right. But this I have to say, I have to declare what I feel. When the scripture says to send Judah first, there's an emotional baggage that goes with that. You can't just get through it without feeling something. And people are so afraid to feel. Sometimes our men are afraid to feel because they're afraid to feel vulnerable. I love it. We need to feel vulnerable. We need to feel all of those things that people haven't felt for eons.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's important. So important. I was so thankful when I began to meet these folks because they knew what the love was about, that real deep emotion. You know, they put a song out some years ago that I remember. If you feel like loving me, I mean, if you even get the notion, I second that emotion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we could sing that song to each other today. But in my presentation, if I can find my notes, I want to deal with the word four, because we just talked about four areas of the unseen soul, which is the intellect, the desires, the willpower, and the emotion. Yeah, you can give those out. The number four is the number of material creation. We know this. If you just have those unseen things that I've talked about without something to manifest that, what's going to manifest the mind, emotions, will, and desires? Who emotes it? Who moves it out? It has to be a being that's being breathed through. So the number four means to squat on all fours.
Oh,
To squat?
To squat.
Wow.
On all fours. That means it needs four places to put its strength, so to speak.
Yeah.
This is charts I use. All of us know that this is how mankind looks, spirit, soul, body. Not that neat. I mean, if this is all mixed up, that would be how we really look. And I just talked about the soul realm, which is that divine feminine realm that all of us have her. We need to be good to her. She speaks of the emotions, the desires, the will, and the mind. Okay, over here we put her where she belongs. And again, nobody's nice, neat, and tidy like this. My husband, I was teaching one time, he stood up, he said, Connie, I got to do something. He said, I got to mess it up because nobody's that neat and that perfect. But that gives you a little picture of what we're made of, so to speak. Okay, if you've had teaching on the tabernacle, surely you have. You can see how these two things compare. The outer court, the holy place, and the holiest place of all. The physical, the feminine, and the masculine. Francis, will you bring me the tabernacle chart? This is the camping order of Israel. Don't you think it's interesting that it looks just like this?
Yeah.
When you read Numbers, you find out how your journey is and how you march. And it's just as perfectly matching to this as anything could be.
See, that is the soul of God, see? You're looking at the soul of God.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
There. You are.
Yes. The heavens and the earth must marry. If we just walk around down here like unattached to anything above us or around us, then we're like non-people. But if we attach ourselves to the heavens and the earth has to marry. That's how we have communication.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Each of us, how we pull things out of our attic. This young lady last night crying out in her need. I thought, that is so beautiful to me. That's one thing that this people is good at, able to say. You know, the scripture says, crying out saves us anyway.
Yes.
If a man catch a maid in a field and force her and she don't cry out, she's in big trouble. But the crying out saves her.
Yes.
Can you say,
yeah,
I need you, Father?
Yes.
I need help.
Yes.
I need somebody around me.
Hallelujah.
I need somebody to hold me.
Yes.
I mean, after all, I'm a little bit lovable most of the time, unless you get me by the tail. Then I got that sign. If you'll turn with me to Numbers, I don't know how to hold this Bible to do this.
Can I hold it for you?
Yeah.
Heaven and earth were created so they could marry.
Yes.
Say it.
Heaven and earth were created so they could marry.
Yes. Absolutely, Rokas. That was God's purpose to begin with. John gave me a red pointer, and that thing scared me to death. It was a laser beam. He said, don't point it at anybody. So I thought I better get me something a little different. In Numbers, the second chapter. Where can I find it? Right here.
Between the two of us.
We've been in a lot of Bible schools.
There you go.
In Numbers, the second chapter, the scripture says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, Every man, that's every one of us, of the children of Israel." You are a child of Israel, are you not?
Yes, yes, yes.
I think Barbara established that this morning. She made us sit down here and read James like they did 2,000 years ago. And it was good. I put it in my pipe and smoked on it.
I did too.
So every man of the children of Israel pitch his own standard.
Wow.
How do you pitch? Let's look at this word. The word pitch means to encamp for an abode or a siege, yeah, or to take a rest. You know, sometimes God says to me, take a break, just rest. At the beginning of last week, I was going through this place that nobody would want to go, and I'd been there many times, so it was familiar to me. But I felt the Christ just stand up and take hold of me.
Hallelujah.
I mean, like I had never felt it before. He said, now my people will begin to know how to enter into my rest.
Right.
It's time we knew how to just say, stop the music, I said, and I'm going to enter into that soft, I'm going to enter into that beautiful place that's already made ready for me and you.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Oh, pitch. It also means to stoop in kindness to an inferior and to favor by position. That's hard for the ego to do, you know.
Yeah, it is.
But when I see the Christ, I want to fall on my face before you. Each one of you telling your truth last night,
yes,
touched my heart so much. And this beautiful thing right here, this youth, our youth that I see, Ruth, raising those kids,
yes,
these young people, they're going to take over our world. We've got to leave them with those frequencies that they don't have to fight for,
yes,
anymore.
Hallelujah.
Like just like this child said, we're learning from them. They have some up-to-date things that we must needs eat of.
Amen.
Okay.
That's about the stand.
We got past pitch, didn't we? Pitch by his own standard, and I wanted to read that because I didn't want to get it confused. The word standard means banner. However, that word goes a long way with me. Johnny and I were, or he was in the Navy, and of course I followed him wherever he went. I think we've been married 55 years, running around this globe together. And it took the act of God to keep us together.
Yeah. And then he followed you wherever you went, too.
Yes, sir. He did.
That's beautiful.
That is true.
Yeah.
One of the beautiful things that's in mine and Johnny's star chart is our work ethic is perfect together. And that has worked all of our life with each other. So I'll talk to you about charts later if we get time.
You're acting out the marriage of heaven and earth and you did your own venture.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rokas. Y'all talk to me. I love it.
Standard with the ensign.
The standard means the flag that you lift up, and that's what I feel happening here this weekend. You know, love is a flag flown high over the castle of my heart.
Alan.
It's conspicuous. It doesn't care what the other guy thinks.
Yes.
It lets you people know where you stand. We're not in the war or the fight with no guts. Come on. We don't need to be on a fence. We need to tell what we feel, what where we are. I can't live where somebody else is. I have to live where I live.
Yes. Amen.
That's what it's all about.
Thank you, Father.
Yep, and those that can hear you will connect or vote with you. See?
Absolutely. Barbara was talking about Isaiah this morning. It's 59th chapter. Okay, according to Scripture, we have the standards of the camp. If you study Ezekiel, the first chapter, Ezekiel, the 10th chapter, or Revelation 4 and 6, it will give you the standards of the camp. And the ensign of the Father House is the constellation that each marched under. So it's important for us to find out what we were born through, what we were when we were born, so we can connect with this right here. On the east was three gates, and I'm not going to read all this. Surely all you Bible people know this, and if not, see me after church. We'll go to Sunday school. Anyway, on the east was three gates, and the scripture says, always set Judah first. Okay, the last time I checked, Judah is an emotion.
Yeah.
So you have to, that emotion is not always there. Did you know that? But if you feel that emotion, something has to stir that make an emotional pull on you. You know, you're just walking past a situation. You're not involved. But all of a sudden, you can smell this smell of love or need. So you turn toward that thing. It speaks of it being a lion, like a lion. So to me, that's Jesus. He was the beginning anyway. We are all little Jesuses, so to speak. Anyway, in sending Judah first, this is the emotional camp, the same, and it's the same as here. Out of the east, send those three eastern tribes first. Okay, that would be Judah, which is the lion or Leo. Camped beside Judah was always Issachar or Cancer. Oh, it's a water sign. And Zebulon on the other side, which is the virgin. Okay, these three marched together, sending Judah first. Barbara is a Leo. Just take a look at this. He is a Cancer, and she is a Virgo. You can't make this stuff up. Not even if you try.
Yeah.
They didn't even know they were that when I met them.
We didn't know we was that when we met each other.
You're beginning to know you're that.
First time we kissed, you began to find out.
Now, each of these have a constellation that governs them. They don't govern the constellations because the Father flung the stars from his fingertips. He did that. But he named every one of them. Just like you, you're no accident. You are a beautiful, unique work of the Father's hands.
Amen.
Each one of you are so, so needed in this economy that we stand in. You may not even think it's important to be here today, but each one's important.
Amen.
To be where they are. And having walked where they're walked, it's amazing to me. Anyway, this camp set forth first, right behind the Levites. They went before the Levites, and the Levites went behind them. But they went 3 days' journey down the road. Do you ever talk to anyone in Christendom? They have no idea where you are.
Yeah, that's true.
They don't believe you're even in Christendom. Because you've already stepped over to another place. You know how to get there.
Yes.
You know how to get from the east to the west.
Yeah, that's right.
Because you march just like you're supposed to march.
Very good.
On the...
It feels right, Connie. It just feels right. That's how you know how to walk. It just feels right.
It works.
Yeah.
And God is going before us, preparing the way with these beautiful, beautiful things. But folks, this is so important for you to understand. It's in the book of Numbers. Read it till you memorize it. And then look at Bullinger's stuff on the stars. Or somebody's that teaches it from a spiritual point of view. Not just reading your horrible scope every day. My goodness. I don't get my news from that.
That's right.
Before I wake up in the morning, I ask my Father to order my day. Master, you order the day.
Yes, amen.
Whatever you say.
Amen.
And of course, I got stuff going around in my brain. You know how you are. If you find a worry, you got to look at it first and hang it out to dry. So I clean myself up before I get up. I mean, if you need an enema, take it. Yes. Whatever. But clean your thinking out and everything in the past. And like she's saying, I'm hearing this more and more. Live now, this minute.
Yeah.
I was sitting there thinking, God, I am scared to death. But I'm going to talk.
You're doing quite well, I might say. Yeah, you awesome.
If you don't like it, when I get done, I'll lay my tongue out there, and you can pray for it foot by foot. A little silly. So what do we send first? That emotion of the Father, His love. We let that be the thing that paves the way for us to walk.
Amen.
That's our worship.
That's it.
That's got to go first.
Got to.
To open the portals to light. God, you can't open with the mind. You've got to open them with something deeper.
And see,
please.
If we do it any other way, this is His order.
Yeah.
He set this. I didn't set this. You didn't set this. If you're following after God, you're going to follow in His way, right?
Absolutely.
So why would you change what divinity has done?
Right. Yes.
Amen.
Right.
It's the way of the Lamb.
Well, you can't change.
You do know that. It's the way of the Lamb.
It's what you are. Glory.
So in the second camp, when it marches, it's called the Camp of Reuben. And that is what we're living, the sun sign that we're under for the next 2,000 years. A beautiful sign. It's the man with a picture. I want to go get it.
There's your Aquarius.
Thank you, Francis.
Well, let me just hold that. She's going to get it.
Okay. Will you get Aquarius?
Out of the stack. It may be on the back, Suze.
Maybe it's on the front. I put it on the front.
Okay.
You got two Aquarians there helping you, though.
Here you go.
We have three Aquarians in our little group.
Wow.
And three Aries.
Help you, Lord.
Yeah. Fire and water.
You're You want it up here.
We have two Libras. One is certainly capable of balancing us. The other one's young. This is the constellation of Aquarius. And look at this beautiful, beautiful promise that's going on in our heavens right now. Maybe Rokas will teach on this because he's the first man I ever heard say, look for the man with a pitcher. And I thought, I know that man's out of the book. Then the women carried the pitchers. They always got the dirty work. So I began to study. Sure enough, long over there in Matthew, Jesus said, you go find the man with a pitcher. That's the one that's able to pour that river of life out inside of him.
Yeah.
Kirby, that flows out of you, all that happiness and that joy and the laughter. Yes.
And there prepare a place for us.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
So we're the ones with a pitcher. You know who you are, Phyllis. Nobody has to tell you. You know who you are. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing to know that God is using you and pouring his spirit out on somebody standing next to you. You can't even go shopping with Carolyn because she loves everything. And she don't care what. If you follow that lamb whithersoever she goes, she'll take you straight through hell and back. That's just Carolyn. It's true.
I love it. She carries you back.
Oh yeah, she'll bring you back. And this helps everything. A mouse is dying. I'm not lying. A bug needs out of the house. Everybody's waiting to go somewhere, and she's hunting the bug to let it out of the house.
Oh, wow.
That's hard to get.
Yeah,
she'll never
be rejected by her.
No, nothing.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
That's beautiful.
Absolutely.
Anyway, for 2,000 years, this is what governs us in the constellations. We got this to look forward to. That mighty river flowing out into the fish's mouth. And my little artist did this so beautifully. She made the fish receptive. Of course he's receptive to the water.
Amen.
Of course.
Amen.
He's receptive to the very thing that he must have, that flowing river into his system. And that one fish is no longer two fish. Remember in Pisces, we had the dualistic hearing. Not here.
Can't breathe enough.
One hearing.
And you know what it feels like, too, when you feel like that fish out of water. Your being won't open and you can't give what God has put within you.
Absolutely.
That water is not there. It has to come for you to swim in that water.
That is for sure. I've been in some places or around some spirits, even in stores sometimes. You're going to a store and you feel this strange thing. Well, I get out of Dodge fast. I'm not staying around here. My husband said, what's the matter with you? I said, it's not right in here. Something's just not right. But anyway, the next sign that will come about is Pegasus. All of these in the constellation of Aquarius are positive pictures. There's not one that's negative. So it's all about the coming of the glory of all that God has ever been, is, and is going to be in this 2,000 years. And we're on the beginning of the cusp of it.
Yeah, we're in fact, we're opening that age.
Yes.
We are now.
Yes.
Today.
Yes.
Absolutely. This meeting, we are opening this age.
Hallelujah.
I'm not sure where I need to go next, but... Okay, the first camp marches first, of course, which is Judah. And then the camp of the desire. This is how I think it works, and you can choose your own way. When I receive something from my Father that I hadn't seen before, I call that revelation an epiphany, whatever you want to call it. I usually immediately weep. You too, Ruth? Does everybody do that?
Yeah, I do.
Just a little weeping. And I can't get low enough if I could crawl.
Yes.
Yes.
That my Father would speak to me.
Amen.
Beautiful thing. And then I take a real good look at that. And do I desire it? Of course, the desires drew it to me. What you desire, you draw to you. And if that's negative, guys, I mean, get a knife and cut it. Get rid of it. Anyway, this draws this. So you feel that little emotion, and you know that's God. Revelation, you can't be fooled by that.
No.
You know that's the voice of the Father. And I bet every one of you got a treasure chest where He's spoken to you personally.
Yes.
And it's yours.
Yes.
When He speaks it to you, it is yours.
Amen.
Yours. Nobody can lie you out of it, cheat you out of it,
right,
argue you out of it. None of those things, because it belongs to you. So, we feel the emotion, we desire it, and then we decide if we want to let that run around in our head.
Yes, choose.
You get to choose right there. Well, all these places are choices on every level. And then you come to the intellect, and it will really examine it. And if you're not careful, it'll cheat you out of it.
That's right, yeah.
That's where the cheater comes in.
Yeah. Use the intellect to own it, or you use it.
Absolutely. So we really have four bodies we're dealing with here. The emotional body, the desirable body, the body of determinations, and the body of the intellect. Right now, there's a lot of battle going on in this realm with spiritual things.
Very good, Connie. Very good.
I'm trying to behave. you see just where I want to go.
Hallelujah.
Next.
Yes. Make your calling and election sure.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah. I will. Francis said not to forget to mention in the constellation of Aquarius, there's a spray going off. Wendy did it a little bit, the lady that drew this, but there's a spray going off to the side that hits some. It's not the river, but it is a drop of water. So that's a beautiful thing. Let me look at them notes because I don't know where I'm at. Now that I've finished with that. Okay. I think it's good for us to understand that this looked like a lion. This looked like the face of a man on the side of the desires, Reuben's camp. Because who can desire more than man? Do you know anything that can desire more than man?
No.
If you can think of something, tell me. Okay. And then this had the face of an ox. It changes faces more than any of the other things in the tabernacle. And why? Because it needs to. The wheel is stubborn. So the first time we see the wheel in Ezekiel 1, it's an ox digging its heels in. You know, you hear people say, I came willingly. They're a liar. They didn't come willingly. We all come with our hooves dug in.
It's true.
and them dragging us to the gate, stripping us of everything, because all the dung had to be left outside the gate. The only thing that could go into here to this altar was the beef. I thought it was so interesting when they used to call for, "Where's the beef?" Of course, the priests got the beef. They got to eat the beef. They turned all of this outside the gate, all the BS, into beef. If you don't know what BS, see me at church. I'll tell you about that, too. Okay. I think that was about all I was going to share on that part. I lost my train of thought.
Good.
Thank you.
Very good.
Oh, the standards. I did those, didn't I? All right. This is an eagle. Remember, Dan, the camp of Dan chose the eagle because they drew the serpent stone, but they didn't want the serpent, so they let them substitute the eagle for the serpent because of his pride thing. And in the final destiny order, Dan will not even be there, because it's judgments. It's our own personal judgments. We are all born with them.
Yeah.
Different cultures, different things happen to us that make us feel so different. Something that would slay me might not even bother you one little bit. But we are all unique, and we all need our circumstances, our cultures, our backgrounds, and all of those things. Anyway, I want to go back to the ox. In Ezekiel 1, you see the ox on one side of the camp. And these are never confused, not one time. But in Ezekiel, in the Revelation 4 and 6, that ox is no longer an ox. He's a calf. Well, I was raised in a barnyard, so I know. I did not mess with the ox. I didn't bother granddaddy's ox, because he'd have hurt me. But the little old white-faced calf, I could get out on the ground and put my arm around him and hold him, because his will wasn't strong. So the calf speaks of the broken will. But then when we see this same picture in Ezekiel 10, this is a cherubim. Has no will of its own at all. It lets its will go for the Father's will to be manifest. Okay, friends, where am I?
Tell me to Isaiah.
2 years ago. No. These things I want to get across because I think they're so important to us.
They are very timely right now.
Okay, those are the standards, the four standards that the Scripture speaks of. Now, the next thing that comes is the constellations. And I probably need to teach you that later on today or tomorrow or something, because that's going to take a while, unless I do it quickly. I can do it quickly. If you and France want to show the charts as I touch on them, you can. I don't want to take too much time. I can't remember what I wrote down.
Good.
Y'all coming? Yeah, just grandma. Yeah, I want to do this because There is be okay. If you just lay them down there, I think I can grab them.
Carmen, Virgo?
Mm-hmm. Just leave that. Let's take Virgo. Okay. In the heavens, these were named by the Father according to Genesis 1 and something. Is it 10? One of those in the early chapters. Anyway, the first constellation that we look at, spiritually speaking, is Virgo, the Virgin. And that always camps in the same place. Virgo, the Virgin's color is blue, deep, deep blue. And the colors are important. However, they do, the zodiac doesn't change colors, but on the breastplate, the colors change. And the foundational stones are different too. It's because they're graduated heights of understanding. Each one of us are born on a mutable, fixed, or cardinal cross. I can look it up for you in a minute and tell you what you were born on, because I know them by heart. If you're a Capricorn, you were born on a cardinal cross. If you're a...
What's the difference between the crosses?
Okay, I've got the chart over there, and it tells the three crosses. The mutable are those that live in that unconscious realm of God. Just have no, do not honor God whatsoever. I mean, he's something afar off and afar out, instead of something that lives inside of them. And then we have the fixed cross, which is conscious duality. And I think it's very important that we pass through this conscious duality to understand mankind. I mean, after all, God put us here. I don't know if we fail, or like Rokas wrote, he let us down gently. You know the old country song, please let me down gentle and help me make it through the night. Well, this Christ will do that. He'll help you make it through the night. Duality is, fixed consciousness is conscious duality. That's conscious of the divinity and of yourself. Of course, folks, God wanted that balance. If you've ever heard Rokas teach, he'll tell you, own it. Own it. I used to think, what are you talking about? If I'm not wearing it, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm on it. But I learned that I need to walk through that thing. Move on through it. He didn't say stop and pick up another cross. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're carrying around one of them. You don't need another one. The cardinal cross is total consciousness. And I really believe this. We, as the body of Christ throughout the earth, are now moving some in conscious unity. We are learning to do that when we come together to move in conscious unity of the Father. And not perform it through an egotistical mind.
Thank you.
This is what we've been seeing a little of. And I know we've all got some ego. But I remember what birthed me. I know what I'm familiar with. I serve something that serves me. Yeah. The being I know serves me. Yet I serve him. It's not something that's just stringy out there. You can't put your finger on it. I was birthed through the Lamb.
Amen.
I remember being birthed through the Lamb. So it's important that we don't forget that our Redeemer liveth.
Amen.
Whatever all he is. I mean, he's much more than we knew back there. Of course. You know. I had him, a man millions of miles away, living on a planet or something, and all of a sudden he walked into my heart. I had a dream when our youngest son was a baby. I've told this so much you're probably sick of hearing it. I'm going to tell it again. Anyway, in the dream, Morgan and I were walking to the store. And we lived in military housing, everything very military. And we really did, because Johnny was in the Navy. So in the dream, I was walking pretty fast, which I used to do. But I was holding his hand. And I saw a man, and he was wearing khakis. And he was watching me, had his hand like this, watching me. I mean, he was really watching me. And I stared at him because there was something that seemed familiar to me. And I said, I know who you are. You're the Christ. And when I did, he manifested like billions of him. He was huge.
Wow.
Everywhere. And he just drew me into him, and I never left. That was my first dreaming encounter. I had other encounters spiritually. Okay. Those are kind of the crosses. It takes so long to teach every little thing. I want to get through this foundational thing.
Even though you come in on a certain cross, do you experience all of them in your life?
Yes, every day. The scripture says you take up your cross every day. I mean, Johnny and I may get home tomorrow, and it'd be that mutable cross everywhere. We got people living with us, our kids and stuff, and blah, blah, you know. So it can be the mutable cross. But the thing about it is, you know that it's the mutable cross.
Right.
And that you are living in an ascended realm. You do not have to stay anywhere. That is the thing that hurts me the most about hearing some teachers today. We're not caught in some kind of hellish circle. Not. We are ascending.
Yes, yes.
Upward,
it's
folks. We are moving.
Yes.
With the Father as he breathes upon us. It's not stuck. So when I teach I tell everybody, yes, you can grow always, and you can be on a mutable cross 1 minute and just be breathe in the Holy Spirit. You ever seen Faith Hill sing Breathe?
Yes.
If you hadn't, watch her. You'll want to breathe just like her, because, oh man, she's stuck. She's free. But the breathing is what I'm talking about. Just stop and say, Father. I don't know if you've ever prayed with Carolyn. She'll stop dead in her tracks. And I'm going, what? She'll say, we're praying. And acknowledging the Father in that moment where you're having the pain or someone else is. I couldn't believe the prayers that went out for Linda Ingblom losing her son. I mean, it was all day. They were issuing from people. We got here and all the body was just in wrapping her.
Yes.
In as much love as they could possibly send to her. That's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Okay. I'm trying to think of where I'm going. Okay, that was Virgo. This is Libra. And it is so befitting. Remember, our Levites camped inside the court at that time. They were like the meat for the sandwich. They had to listen to all the stuff. Sometimes if you're a minister, everybody chews on you, so to speak. So they're going to tell you all the bad stuff. Not a lot of good stuff sometimes. Anyway, a Libra is the one with the balances in his hand. It's where you can hear a situation and make a judgment call in a balanced manner, not give it all to one person or all to the other, but understanding both sides of that balance. And of course, the cross is in this one, and the victim. And it would have to be, for you to be a just priest, I love for certain ones to counsel with me because they make me see another side, not just my perspective and how I feel. Even if it's the right side, we need to see that other side. Our group, everybody shares. You can ask them. There's no big eyes. What John has to say, or Speed, or Johnny, France, Suze, my Karen, is just as important. So we never come together saying, well, it's going to be thus and so. We don't do it that way. We say, Father, the service is yours, just like this woman is doing. And yeah, it kind of leaves you going out on a limb.
Sometimes.
It doesn't mean I don't have anything to say. As you can see, I've got enough mouth for 4 rows of teeth up here. So. Too much. Anyway, that's those two signs.
You're next.
Yeah, thank you, Francis.
Do you want some water?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you.
This is for you.
Thank you.
Huh?
What do you want me to do?
The writing's this way. You know, they lay around in the head.
Yes, we do.
This is the tribe of Dan, or the sign of Scorpio. I can't remember, October 21st to November 21st, if you were born during that time. You will go through more transition than most of the other signs. Because Dan is one of the tribes that does not make it to the destiny order. He cannot make it to the destiny order because judgment must begin at the house of God, which house you are. You get to judge it. That makes you in charge, and he will turn that harsh judgment or whatever into spiritual discernment.
Amen.
There's a difference.
There sure is.
Yeah.
That harsh judgment will split them in two.
Sean and Cherry.
Yes. Absolutely. We have to have both. We have to have judgment and love.
Well.
Okay.
Sagittarius.
Yeah. It's Asher. Asher.
On that side.
Oh, yeah, you're right. No, you're not right. That's an
Scorpio,
afterlife.
Scorpio, Sagittarius. Oh, you're right. I'm sorry.
We get in each other's way.
There's a beautiful cross.
Forgive me and forgive her because we run over each other. Anyway, Sagittarius is the trap. Huh?
This is always in love, though.
Yes. It's the tribe of Asher. His mother was Leah. And his name means happy, happiness, and prosperity. I would say one thing to Sagittarius is that I've learned in the last year about Sagittarius folks. If you notice, he's got a, always has an arrow to shoot. Where's Mary? Is she hiding?
Mary.
She's gone, I guess.
She's a
Sag. Oh, I know some Sages. And it's good most of the time. But if that quiver is full and the point you are making is to bring life and not separation, you're in a good boat. But if you're using your Sagittarian point to hurt or separate, you need to put that thing back in quiver.
Wow, it's good. Thank you.
This is the altar in this one. And of course, you're dealing with this Draco. He's a big deal. They're trying to make him a 13th constellation. It's not really true. That sucker's always been out there in the same place, wandering around. Okay, this is Capricorn. Capricorns are one of my favorite. I'm married to one of them. Right there. They are the most dependable sign in the zodiac. That's the beautiful thing, and responsible. I can say that. They won't leave you in the lurch, or he'd have threw me out a long time ago. he's a sea goat. Here, don't you think it's interesting that we still see part of the fish? He's a goat with a fish's tail. Sometimes he don't know what he is. Because he can dwell in the water or he can dwell up on the earth. So it's a beautiful sign, really. All of the signs are beautiful, do you hear me? Because they have qualities that Father needed you to have to share upon the earth. You're such a gift. If you could know what a gift of God each of you are, I could just spoon feed that to you if you don't know it already. But I can see on some faces they didn't know. It's a beautiful thing. Okay, I don't know where I am here.
Where is this next? But you covered that. You went back.
Yeah, let's do it one more time. I'm just trying to keep them in order. Yeah. This is
in Pisces along the back.
The Aquarius.
For women in the constellation.
I'll do that last. Okay. Since we've already done that, I'm going to go with Pisces. Remember, Pisces was the church age. And you notice in Pisces that there's a woman in this scene. We have the dualistic hearing. You see, one fish is never going to settle for lesser truth. It swims straight toward that North Star to as high as it can go because it wants truth. So that's why we have these fragments of information for 2,000 years, the Gnostics and whoever left it, that we can read. This guy was King James, and he didn't make many mistakes. 70,000. Give me a break. So that's what happened in the age of Pisces. And the woman, the divine feminine, ladies, get out your battle, was in chains. If you've ever heard Lynn Hayes teach, he'll break them chains for you. Because he hates anything in chains. So Andromeda, that's her name. She was the lady in chains. But we don't see that anymore because that's going to change. Okay. Okay. This is the age that Christ was born into. You see, it's a lamb. It is the first age of the zodiac, according to some. And I would have to think it would be because John said, "Behold the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world." That don't mean there was anything other than the sacrifice, but that lamb that was slain for every one of us, giving his blood. So, and you see what this lamb does with this great sea monster, that negative thing. You know it lays close to you sometime. You see his foot for 26,000 years. He's got his foot on what controls this dude. I just want you to take a gander at our woman. She's sitting in the throne room. Christ Jesus took her and put her in the throne room, and the church took her and put her in shackles. I'm just going to do one more, I think, if I can find her.
Virgo?
Yes, of course, you know I've stuck her somewhere.
That's right. You want some water?
What's up?
This girl's well watered.
Thank you.
What?
Virgo.
Over here if you want.
There are only four women in constellations as pictures. We start off with Virgo. The Virgin, right here. That's your first woman. And she's not waiting around to have a son. The next picture you see in Virgo, she's bouncing that son on her knee. Do you hear me? So there are four women in Scripture. In the Hebrew alphabet, there are what they call three mother letters. And as I was studying this, God began to deal with me about that Hebrew alphabet. The Aleph is the Arab mother. Do we have those? Maybe they can bring them and you can remember having had seen them, because the sound of each of those beautiful letters means so much to each one of us.
This is good. I'm excited here.
Many years, Rudy Jones, does anybody know Rudy?
Yeah.
Had a dream, and the father, yeah, thank you. I appreciate you.
She had that deal.
Thank you. He had a dream, and he was taken to the heavens, and every Hebrew letter was a huge building, just one letter.
Wow.
The sound of it, the beauty of each word and what it means. It's worth studying. So when I began to study these mothers that I saw in the heavens, I compared them with the four mothers of Israel. You do know there were four. Rachel, Leah, Bilhah, and Zilpah. You talk about sex, Jacob had it. I'm just being honest here. But they did produce the 12 tribes that we all have sprung from. And that's so important to us. More important is the four mothers. All of them are going to have their daddy's nature. He was their seed. But the mother that raises the child, she influences that child.
That's true.
Absolutely. So wonder what these mothers were putting in these children. You know, Bilhah's name means fear and trembling. We can all identify with that thing. And Reuben was so protective of her, he decided that he could do a better job than his daddy. So he took her to himself and committed adultery. And when he did, he lost his birthright. I didn't mean to get into this. I don't know why.
Go for it.
Wow. Anyway, I know these read backwards. All right. This is the Aleph. Can you see it pretty good in the Hebrew alphabet? It's called a mother letter. And it is the mother letter for air mother. One mother, okay. I'm looking for the mem. Is it right in front of me? Oh, yeah. Thank you, France. This is the mem, and she is the water mother. The mother of the water in the Hebrew alphabet. And this is the shin. You see the three prongs? She is the fire mother. Okay, legend has it. This is just legend now. That when the Hebrew children worshipped a golden calf and they threw the tables down and broke them, I guess it was Moses, right? The letters all flew off of the tablet. And this last letter, the Hebrews say, never came back. It's called the missing letter. But this is what they feel. I'll just read it to you. Some Jewish mystics speculate that the form of this letter is similar to a shin. I'm talking about where we don't have a letter, a missing letter. Similar to a shin, with four heads instead of three. Let's see. The four prongs on the shin on the left side of the, what is that word? Tefillin?
Teflon.
Symbolizes the four mothers. And folks, if this Hebrew alphabet is going to have an air mother, a water mother, a fire mother, who puts it in the earth? Okay, this mystic says that fourth Hebrew letter is the earth mother letter. If you study the Celtic runes, you find the very same thing. If there's four heavenly mothers, there has to be four earthly mothers.
Yes.
Everything has to fit together. It's a mighty puzzle. And I'm done.
That's awesome.
Being that he has given us to understand through symbols, which is how we understand things, is through the alphabet and what it symbolizes. I thought of a dollar sign. You know, you see a dollar sign and you have a vast idea about it relates to you. So these letters relate in that way, and that's the way God emanates this Vav, that there's a capability that is given from the heavens for us to transmute past to future and future to past. I just liked it.
Good.
And I also read it, but this fourth letter, or this one with the four heads that symbolizes the earth mother. Yeah. Remember, Lynn was talking about the two black holes that you can vibrate at in consciousness. The first, the lower level, is the earth. But there is two different bodies. One is